Thanks for tuning in. You are watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Throughout the pandemic, there are a lot of companies that are thriving right now in terms of trying to make the world that we live in slightly better. One company, or one such company, is of course Philips Malaysia, because they are committed to helping create a healthcare system that is a little bit more personalized, a little bit more accessible, and of course a little bit more affordable for those that are engaging in this system. Joining me for this morning's interview is Ali Jalil, Country Manager of Philips Malaysia, here to talk about their efforts right now working in this country in establishing a foothold in terms of making the pandemic a little bit more bearable for all of us, but of course perhaps even talk about Philips Global and how they are embracing these new challenges as a company. Ali, thanks for taking the time to spend with us. Let's talk a little bit about Philips Malaysia. How have you guys been coping during the MCO, and what have been the year? What has the year been for you guys?
Thank you very much, first of all, for having me on the show. Indeed, I think it's something which was unprecedented and something totally unexpected when the pandemic hit us. So like everyone else, we were also impacted hugely by it. The MCO obviously made matters very, very hard. But given the fact that we are in health system and a health technology company, we were at the forefront of the pandemic and how to fight it. Obviously, we have our portfolio, which has monitors, which has ventilators, mobile x-rays. These are all the equipment which is used to fight the COVID pandemic. So we became very, very engaged and involved with our hospitals, both public and private. And I would really like to give kudos to my team, especially the field engineers, who despite all the odds were out there every day of the week and weekends, day in, day out, working with other frontliners in managing and helping out the people who were getting impacted.
When we talk about COVID and when we talk about the health industry, what I normally like to do is actually try to split two big things. Mm-hmm. The first is something along the lines of med tech or medical technology. Another one is, of course, the healthcare system itself. And from the definition of the two elements, MedTech is actually doing extremely well. They are revolutionizing how the industry should behave. Right. All the things that are currently in place that have not been executed before now has to be executed because of the urgency and the need for it. And things that were already in the process are currently being rejuvenated and in fact invigorated even more. And perhaps the demand for results have never been greater these days. The healthcare system per se is troubled, not just in Malaysia, but of course globally as well.
Yes.
And of course, when we talk about elective diseases, like all the elective diseases and elective procedures, they are all being postponed because of the need for them to treat COVID-19. See, this is the two elements that normally people tend to get convoluted with. How do you see Philips, not just in Malaysia, but Philips Global as well, how do you fit into these two broad pictures when we talk about the healthcare industry?
That's an excellent question, and it's the right bifurcation. So, and as you rightly pointed out, that the technology has really advanced over the years, with AI coming into the picture, with IoT, so on and so forth. So the tools which are available now to medical companies, as far as innovation is concerned, has really progressed very quickly. Whereas, as you can imagine, health industry is highly regulated, right? And regulations come about at their own pace. But what has happened is, what COVID has made us all realize, and I feel it's a global realization, is that how health system has operated in the past is not a sustainable model. Mm. It just cannot work. So it is time for technology companies, medical technology companies like Philips and many other big companies, and obviously governments around the world, to come together and bring about that right balance, right? Where regulations are very important, but they really need to work as per the requirements of the day. What has accelerated though, and what we have seen in the last 6-8 months is, for example, telehealth. So telehealth, which was not very prevalent in the past, has all of a sudden become extremely important. Also, what has come into question is how should a hospital behave? You know, is it a brick and mortar institute where people go to get better and come out of it? It has to be more than that, right? It has to be more scalable. While it continues to serve its purpose, which it has served over hundreds of years, what can be done, you know, to give caregivers the options that they can reach out to so many who cannot physically be present and be able to perform complex procedures without having to have the patient come to the door of a hospital. So,
you know, you're painting a picture where we are at a crossroad right now, where we have to embrace traditional methods of assisting the healthcare system, but at the same time really embracing deep technology, really embracing AI, automation, deep learning, minimizing the interference of a human in processing a diagnosis. You're talking about something that means a lot for the decades to come.
Right.
We are at that tipping point. And Philips is no small company. In fact, you're really huge. And you've been around for hundreds of years. Is this now a time for Philips itself as a company to fight for survival and grow and future-proof yourself for the next 100 years? Is now 2020 that moment?
Absolutely. I think we've never been more relevant. We are a 128-year-old company, and we've been in health technology for about 100 years. We've got a proud history, but you know, we cannot just sit on the laurels of history.
No, that doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't work, right? And just to give you an idea, we spend a substantial amount of money on R&D, as you can imagine. And 60% of that is going into mostly software, where you have all the artificial intelligence, connected care, informatics, so on and so forth. And the reason for doing that is because we do see the future of healthcare to be very different than what it is today. And as I mentioned, you know, we never had access to technologies that we have today. Mm. World population is growing. Hospitals around the world are overflowing. You know, they simply cannot address the needs, even with clinics and tertiary hospitals, so on and so forth. They still cannot cater to the need of the patients. How many doctors, how many caregivers are you going to produce?
Mm.
And absolutely, that's where all of these technologies come into play.
The thing about your industry is that, yeah, while research and development is extremely core to how you would grow, we live in an area, or we live in an age, where disruption can happen in the blink of an eye. You, as a company, could be overtaken in the market position by a quick and fast but deep-pocketed startup, and the market would demand for such a solution to be given very quickly. How do you negate that? How do you manage that? You know, the traditional competitors that you have are in the same boat as you guys are. Big, huge, well endowed, but at the same time not nimble and fast as the other guys that are just starting up right now.
Yeah, that's also a very pertinent question. So what sets Philips apart is, if you look at our history, we were a very diversified company. We were into, at some point in time, semiconductors, lighting, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So we've divested from all of those businesses. Our focus is health technology. So that's what we do, day in, day out. That's what we are. That's what we stand for now. And what that has helped Philips do is to look at healthcare in totality. We don't just look at it from just an equipment point of view. We look at it as a continuum, which starts at healthy living. So you've got to have healthy living, that's followed by prevention, then you do diagnosis, treatment, then home healthcare. So we want to be relevant in all of these different verticals of health continuum. Whereas, you know, this competition that will maybe take one or two of these cycles, we are relevant everywhere. Mm. And that is what kind of keeps us at the cutting edge of technology. The advantage that we also had was we are a big consumer company as well. We make a lot of consumer products. Yeah. You may be a user of them as well.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives us that edge where we bring our innovations to that aspect as well. For example, an air fryer, you know, and it's very prevalent product for Malaysia, where you have the highest obese, you know, in ASEAN.
It's just alarming.
You know, I mean, you've got the most patients of heart disease.
Of course. All the NCDs, all the non-communicable diseases.
Yeah, communicable diseases are most prevalent in Malaysia. So, you know, I mean, you've got products like that. And we then work with our care providers who are also pushing this out. So you start with that and you cover all the bases, which gives us the edge compared to competition and also keeps us very nimble. We've also invested a whole lot of not just on R&D, but acquisitions as well.
Mm.
So in the last 3-4 years, we've made some serious acquisitions and we continue to partner with startups around the world as well.
We'll take a short break before we continue our conversation with Philips Malaysia. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for staying on with us. You are watching Notepad. I have in the studio with me Philips Malaysia. We're talking about health care, health tech, and medical tech. And while the terms may be overlapping one another, it still talks about the generational dilemma that all of us are facing right now. And it's generational because the last time something bad like this happened, it was somewhere along the lines of World War II, when we talk about deaths, when we talk about impact towards the healthcare system globally. But since we have been tossing around the word diagnosis for quite a bit throughout this interview, I'd like to get your view and give your opinion and diagnosis into Malaysian healthcare system. What do you think of this country's healthcare industry? How do you think Malaysia can be better? What are the areas that bring about some challenges into this country?
Malaysia is, as a healthcare provider, I think the government has done a pretty decent job. They've done a good job if I compare it to some of the other developing economies.
Mm.
Having said that, I think 70% of Malaysians are relying on subsidized healthcare. So that begs the question, is it sustainable? Is it sustainable for the government? Is it sustainable for the people? And that's where I feel the challenge is going to arise.
Mm.
So you've got to make it sustainable in the long run. And how do you make it sustainable? The way you do it is, and even today, if you look at the budgets, and I was reading the recent budget where they have set aside a substantial amount of money for healthcare, but most of it goes just sustaining the existing hospitals, sustaining the payrolls, and so most of it gets consumed in that. And
yes,
then there is not so much left. Yes,
the developmental budget, yeah, versus the operational budget.
Absolutely. So
bulk. I forget the ratio, but it was the bulk when I read, yes, it last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was scary.
It is, and that's
but
what
it's needed, not because it's
it's needed, right?
Willy-nilly put it there. It's needed. We have that much beds, that much hospitals, that much premises, that much doctors, nurses. It's needed, but it's not sustainable. Like
absolutely, and that's where I think the improvement can come in, whereas you can now start using technology that gives you more for less.
Mm.
Or how do you centralize your monitoring, for example? Right? How can you have early warning scores that kind of tells you the health of the patient? How do you monitor home health? And there are solutions now available with companies like Philips, you know, where you can deploy these solutions. And some of the hospitals have deployed, but it's in bits and pieces. I think there needs to be a more centralized approach, which is needed. And I think that realization is there amongst the circles, whether it's public or private. And just like Philips, I'm sure the industry is ready to sit down with the government and come up with the next 10 years or 20 years plan. But as I said, you know, I think the government has done a good job. The challenge is that 70% is a big amount of people relying on public healthcare.
When you say the industry is ready to sit down with the government, does this mean that you are ready to collaborate with some of your competitors to make sure that the solution is actually universal and that, you know, you guys can look at each other, you and your competitors can actually provide one single solution to the government to solve this long-standing issue and an issue that we have to solve urgently right now?
Of course. I mean, this transcends all these issues, right? I mean, we're talking about healthcare. We're talking about providing solutions for the betterment of, you know, Malaysians or the world in general. I don't believe anyone in the industry is going to have any issues in sitting across the table and figuring out, okay, how are we going to manage? Because everybody benefits from it.
Some parallels that I can draw is, of course, the telco industry, fierce competitors, one among the other. In fact, they take pot shots against each other because they are in the consumer space, you know, product brand, yellow versus red versus blue, that kind of stuff, right? But yes, of course, that's rivalry, but friendly rivalry. But when they engage the government, they engage the government with one voice, with one price, with one solution. So it becomes an easy... Sorry, I take that back. It's not easy. It becomes a clear negotiating structure where there's one party and the other trying to meet the middle ground instead of various parties talking to the government and meeting at various different places. Do you think that this approach that you speak of is going to be something that people of Malaysia really need to get behind? Get behind the industry players, get behind the government to find that solution?
Absolutely. I mean, this is needed, right? So the end goal is, how can we be ready next time? Mm. The end goal is, how can we help and support in providing better patient outcomes? Okay? How can we do more with whatever we have available? So it's a much bigger objective, you know, where everybody brings their own expertise, and that is needed, and everyone has their own perspective as well. Obviously, the public sector has their own perspective. They have their own challenges that we may or may not be aware of. So that comes to the table along with you know, the industry, whether it's our competitors or our partners or what have you. Everybody comes together, kind of take stock of what the situation is now, how is it going to look in the future, and how everyone can put in their effort to come up with a holistic and a better outcome.
Okay.
So I don't see any problems with I don't see anyone having any problem with that kind of an approach.
Right. We'll take one more short break before we conclude a conversation with Ali Jadil or Philips Malaysia. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Ali Jalil of Philips Malaysia. We're talking about the future of medicine, I suppose. Let's talk about some of the things that you're working with right now. And the things that I want to unearth right now is things that involve deep technology, things that involve AI, robotics, automation. What is Philips up to these days?
Okay, well, AI is very interesting. Again, we have incorporated a lot of that already into our solutions, whether they be in our monitoring, whether they be in some of the services that we provide. So essentially, you know, we look at it and we've deployed them in ICUs around the world. We've deployed it in home healthcare solutions. Where, you know, you can, once you leave the hospital, you still need to be monitored. Then it still needs to be those signs that you know, I mean, that kind of tell you whether the patient needs to come back or not. Ideally, you don't want them to come back. You want the post-operative care to be, you want the patient to be taken care of at home and be healthy. That's just good because you need those beds for incoming patients rather than using the same patient over and over again, right? So, so we've incorporated a lot of these already. So I'll give you an example. So we have this thing, early warning scores, for example, a solution which is embedded, which tells caregivers the probability based on the vital signs of a patient, whether that person needs help or not. And that literally saves lives because it's too late. You know, once the monitor starts beeping, that's always a bad sign.
Yeah.
So it is before the fact. And this is the kind of artificial intelligence or algorithms this artificial intelligence provides.
Preventative medicine.
It's all preventative, right? So you do it before it gets out of hand. When does somebody need to be taken out from ICU, again, gets monitored, and you know, this is the data which is given to the caregivers. The right information needs to be given to, because you have all of these KPIs or all of these charts, and you kind of sometimes you get lost in them, and you don't, you're so busy. So just the right information needs to be provided. So when you look at the charts or when you're looking at the data, and it could be at the convenience of your handphone or a tablet or what have you. So you see the right data, you see the right information.
See, now you're touching into an ethical conversation, and I feel that this is an urgent conversation to be had, which is privacy, data, security, cyber security. How do you feel the healthcare industry right now is managing that kind of topic?
Yeah, there are certain protocols, SOPs, standards that needs to be adhered to. All companies, I'm sure, and specifically talking about Philips, so we follow all the global privacy standards, plus the local standards, because sometimes you have global plus you have local, which may even be more stringent.
Yeah.
So we've got to follow those, and that's the industry practice. But
so I'm a patient, and I'm wondering whether or not I feel that my data can be shared with a lot of people, with a lot of players, and I feel that there is a reason why I want to share it. My wife, for instance, might be a little bit more private, but she doesn't want to share anything. But we live in an environment where privacy is the biggest topic right now. How do you manage the two of us, the kind of different approaches to the patient, approaches towards privacy?
So as I mentioned, there are certain global standards that need to be adhered to. So you adhere to those. Then there are certain personal choices as well, which an individual can make. And you've got to accept that, and you've got to respect that. So follow the baseline, make sure that you are compliant whatever the standards are. Then what the individual wants, sometimes the individual doesn't want anything to be shared. So you should not be sharing that information. Some are more open to it. So all of that the consent has to be there of the patient on what he or she is willing to share or not share.
I now want to consult your crystal ball and ask you to predict the future. COVID-19 has taken 890,000 lives to date, estimates by Johns Hopkins University, over 28 million positive cases around the world. Malaysia is relatively unscathed if you look at these global numbers.
Yeah.
India, of course, is now second.
Crazy, yeah.
What do you think will happen?
I think it's not going to be resolved in the short term. I think the repercussions of what we have just witnessed are still going to be felt over the next year or so. We don't expect a turnaround of the economy because we're both in consumer as well as healthcare till middle of perhaps next year when things start to get back to normal. And it also depends on what kind of solutions we have available. There are lots of learnings, and I think in the end there is always a silver lining, and that's what we should be looking at. I think the silver lining, as far as I am concerned, is that there's a realization that things have to move much quicker. We've got to embrace technologies much faster. I am very certain that governments around the world WHO, all the other relevant agencies are going to get together, come up with SOPs, come up with regulations which are going to help ease some of the restrictions which are inhibiting the adoption of some of these technologies. So, and to me, that is going to be a silver lining of, you know, it's one of those things we were not ready for it. The world was not ready for it.
No one could possibly be ready for it, despite however you future-proof yourself.
So let's learn from what has been dished out by nature and be ready to have a much better reaction
Ali,
next
thanks
time.
Very much for taking the time to speak with us.
My
pleasure. That was Ali Jalil of Philips Malaysia. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com, look for Notepad over there. You can also watch these kind of interviews on your mobile devices. Just download the Astro Awani app whenever you get the application. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.